Good morning. There's a lot of new faces out there. We're glad you're here. Welcome. Maybe you're here visiting family for the weekend or here to see the baptism, but we're glad that you're here to join us. After the service today, we're going to have a picnic outside. You might have seen the tables and chairs set up. We would love for you to join us. Please join us for this picnic. It's a fundraiser for our Granada, Spain team. That's going to go out in a few weeks to help with the English camp. And so donations are gladly accepted. There's no donation too large for the hoagie. But if you didn't bring money or forgot about it, you can still come. We'd love to have you join us. And this Friday, we're going to have a blood drive here. This is one of the ways that we seek to serve the community in practical ways by giving our blood. And so come and sign up for that outside in the lobby. There's a sign-up sheet for that, and that's one way we've been able to serve consistently, and it's significant. And then lastly, I want to remind you guys that next Sunday at 10 a.m., we're going to have a town hall meeting. So we'll go back to two services, and instead of adult school discipleship, there will be the town hall meeting at 10 o'clock. Here's some updates about what's going on in the church and from different ministries, financial snapshot. It'll be good. You guys should come. It'll be good. All right. If you have Bibles, turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 5. As you do that, I have a question. Have you ever purposefully avoided someone? Today. Maybe it was a coworker. Who likes to complain about their job. Maybe it's someone you've had a conflict with recently. We often avoid people to escape pain or to avoid feeling uncomfortable. We would like life to go a little bit easier, so we avoid them. I came across a financial book that said the key to success is who you move toward and who you avoid. Who you move toward and who you avoid. And he gave specific instructions on how to remove yourself from conversation with people who will not help you meet your goals and still look good while doing it. If this person will not help you achieve your goals, you should not give them your time. It was a successful book. A lot of people wanted to know how to do that. What can we learn about ourselves based on who we avoid? This morning we're going to learn about Jesus based on who he did not avoid, even though everyone would have told him that's what you're supposed to do, avoid this person. Would you read with me in Luke chapter 5, verse 12? While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Would you pray with me? Jesus, when we read this passage and see what you are like. We're challenged as we see there's a distance between you and us, about your behavior and our behavior, your heart and our hearts. And I ask that during this time, as we study this passage, that you would bridge the gap, that you would show us how you bridge that gap. So we ask for your blessing in your name. Amen. The results from the test came back, and it was as they feared. With weary eyes, the husband and wife were looking at each other, and they didn't have to say anything. They knew what was coming. They knew what was next. When the spot first showed up, their friends encouraged them, "You need to check this out. You should go have someone go look at that." So they did, and the results came back negative. And so the wife took down a basket, and she filled it with food. And the husband changed his clothes, took off what he was wearing, and put on a garment that was ripped and dirty. And he took the basket from his wife, walked out of their home, and kind of looked around and took the scene in, waved goodbye to his wife, and then walking down the street, he shouted, "Unclean! Unclean! I'm unclean!" And every time someone might get close to him, he would have to shout out that word. Unclean! So that no one will get close to him. So that no one will have the risk of getting leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is a summary term for skin disease. And as a result of getting leprosy, you would lose your job, you would lose your family, and you'd lose the opportunity to do what we were doing this morning, to gather with the people of God and worship. You're excluded from all of those things. And that is his plight. That is his future, a life among the trash and the rubble outside of town until his skin disease disappears. So there he is, shouting, "Unclean." Can you imagine what that would feel like? Perhaps it would be like if you were to take a cardboard sign and write on it something shameful from your past and hang it around your neck and then walk to the mall. And anytime someone got within a few feet of you, you said, "Unclean, don't get too close. I've been abused. Oh, don't get too close. I have an eating disorder. Don't get too close. I'm addicted to things and I can't seem to stop. I don't want you to get near me." That would be similar to what this man experienced on a daily basis. We don't have leprosy in our day in Ambler and Glenside. We don't have leprosy that I'm aware of in Abington and Fort Washington. But many are those who feel like lepers. That people should avoid them because of something that they've done, or they feel like people are avoiding them on purpose, and it's painful. And I don't have to be a rich man or to be a risky betting man to say that all of us have felt the dull ache of loneliness and the pain of having someone avoid us on purpose. We're familiar with rejection from other people. So in our passage, we come to this story where there's a man who has known rejection because he was seen as a risk to be with by his community. Now, technically, becoming unclean does not mean that you've broken God's law. At that time, you were excluded. In the Old Testament, there were laws about this, that you were excluded from going into the tabernacle for worship if you had certain sicknesses. And once you were all better, then you could go back and worship. But over time, people saw it as not only just a physical ailment, but that the reason it happened to you is because you were cursed by God. God was cursing you with this disease. God has cursed you with this physical ailment. And so because of that, mercy was not shown to those in their pain. Rather, they were treated with contempt. It was seen as them getting the punishment they deserved. But Jesus responds differently. Jesus shows compassion. It's the opposite of avoiding a person, moving towards them, engaging them with compassion. And Jesus does that in three ways. He does it by hearing, by healing, and by restoring. In verse 12, we read the man was full of leprosy. His disease was extensive, leaving no hope for natural recovery and a lifetime of pain. The leper walks up to Jesus, and with the words unclean on his lips, he says something different. He takes a risk. Lord, probably saying this from a distance, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. There's some hope there, but there's also some desperation. Hoping feels like a risk. Hope feels like a risk, but I've heard something about you, Jesus. I hear that you're different, that you respond differently. If you're willing, I believe that you can make me clean. So somehow this leper heard of Jesus. Somehow he heard that Jesus was different. Maybe he heard that Jesus was kind to other lepers. But whatever he heard, he decided to act upon it and to cry out and to take the risk of hoping that maybe Jesus would hear his cry. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus demonstrates compassion by what he did not do. Jesus didn't walk away. He didn't turn the channel when the ad about the starving kids in Ethiopia came on, and he didn't pretend to fiddle with the radio when the beggar came up rapping on the car window. He didn't look at the leper and say, listen, I'm building a kingdom, and I want everyone to look slick. I want everyone to look nice. I want everyone who's got their act together to be with me and on my team. And you don't have much of a following. Like, there's no one following you on Twitter. Like, you have no friends on Facebook. Like, you're going to be a liability. People are not going to want to follow me if you're with me. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus heard him and responds graciously. You know, at this time, rabbis taught at this time that if a leper didn't cry out unclean, you could throw rocks at them. Jesus responds differently. He hears him and he moves towards him. So often, though, when I hear the cry of a leper, I turn around and I make excuses. Like when I was in high school. You guys who are in middle school and high school, you know that it can be tough. A lot of it can be based on physical appearances, right? And there's a friend of mine, well, he wasn't a friend, he was a classmate. And things weren't going to go well for him in high school. He typically had one t-shirt. It was a black Guns N' Roses t-shirt, faded jeans, white, dirty high tops. He would miss school because of lice. He was a nice guy, and he had no friends. And one afternoon, between lunch and the next period, Jerry came up to say hi to me, maybe strike up a conversation, maybe see if I would be willing to be a friend to him. Perhaps he heard about Jesus. Perhaps he heard that Jesus acted differently and that he had heard that I was a Christian, so he thought maybe that I would act like Jesus. And so he comes up to have a conversation with me. And I didn't read that book that I mentioned earlier, but I was able to smile and slowly pull my way back from the conversation. Oh, I've got to go, Jerry. I'll see you around. And I'd like to think that if I knew what I know now about Jerry, I'd like to think if I would have known that then, that I would have responded differently. If I would have known about his father's mental health and the extreme poverty that they lived in, that I would have shown compassion. But the truth is, we are not given that knowledge in the moment. When opportunities arise to show compassion to others, you will not know the full story. I didn't know the full story then. I didn't show compassion. And I think that that can happen because we often forget that how Jesus hears us in our need. Jesus shows compassion to us, and so likewise we can show compassion to others. But thankfully, Jesus is not like me. Jesus is not like us. We can treat others like lepers. And then maybe we're tempted to think Jesus will treat us that way too, but he doesn't. Jesus shows compassion to those who call out to him. He doesn't throw rocks or ignore them. He hears our cry and he moves towards us. Jesus shows compassion. He hears the cry of Jerry and he hears the cry of you. When you cry out, he hears your cry. Jesus shows compassion by hearing our cry. But Jesus also shows compassion by healing. Look at verse 13. Jesus reaches out his arm to become the bridge between the clean and the unclean, healing the leper's loneliness and isolation with a touch and with a word. Everything in society seemed to encourage you to avoid lepers because to become clean like them, like to get leprosy yourself, is so costly. But Jesus responds differently with a touch and with a word. Jesus' touch shows the leper that he's willing to give compassion to him in a way that no one else had. It communicated acceptance. It returned to this man his dignity. Now, we might not be a hugging bunch, but when we are, when we do, when we reach that, when we cross that divide and give someone a hug, it communicates, I'm with you, I accept you, you're part of our family. Many of you, on a regular basis, go into a building to do this very thing. Throughout this area, there are men and women confined to a building. They're confined to a floor. They're confined to a room. They're confined to a wheelchair. They're confined to a broken body. And many of you regularly will go and visit them. And you've told me about these encounters when you go to encourage them, to care for them. One person said it this way, I know they're glad when we come to visit, when we ask them questions, when we pray for them, but what they love the most, what I think they look forward to the most, is when someone is willing to hold their hand. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm for you. There's power in that touch, but Jesus' touch is different. It's different than that because Jesus is God. Jesus' touch has divine power and a miracle takes place. We don't have that type of power. Jesus is unique. And in that time, you know, the idea of this uncleanliness from leprosy, to touch someone with leprosy is to make you unclean as well. But because of Jesus' power, Jesus' purity, he doesn't become leprous. His purity goes to the man. He makes the man clean through his touch. But Jesus also heals this man with his words. Jesus declares the man clean. Now, if we were to go back and look, where have there been other accounts of people being healed by leprosy? One is by Moses. He intercedes for Miriam. She gets leprosy. And he prays, and she's healed. In another account, there's a man named Naaman. He was a captain of a foreign army, and the prophet Elisha intercedes for him, and he's healed. Both times, those men were prophets who prayed to God to do the healing. And both times, that healing was to be a sign to everyone who saw it happen that these men were the authorities sent from God. They needed to be listened to. They were God's representative. And that's the case here as well with Jesus in healing this leper. But Jesus is different from Moses and Elijah. He didn't have to pray. He just declared it. He just said it. He just spoke it. Be clean. The same one who spoke creation into existence declared that this leprous man be cleansed. And it is the same that Jesus does for us with our sin. What does your cardboard sign say? Jesus Christ, with a word, declares it cleansed. There's power in his words. Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. When you read those words, when you hear those words of Jesus, I am willing, be clean, What's the tone of his voice there? What do you think it sounds like? What do you think it sounds like when he says it to you? Does it sound like this? Oh, man, are you really asking me this again? Does it sound like that? Didn't you ask for me to cleanse you last week? Are you still dealing with this? Is that what it sounds like when Jesus says it? They asked again. I've got to do it. Twisting my arm. No, I think that when we look at the context of what Jesus came to do, Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. When Jesus hears this request, his response is gladness. His response is smiling. His response is joyful, because to be asked is to believe that Jesus has the compassion. Are you willing? And that Jesus has the power. That he has the compassion and he has the power. When someone asks you to help them out, let's say, oh, can you come help unload this truck with me? I need your help. Do you feel like, oh, I can't. Why would they ask me? Man, they're jerks. No, actually, you feel honored. You feel honored when someone asks you for help. It means they think that you're a nice person, that you're willing to help, that you're compassionate, and that you have the ability to do so. And that's what it's like when this man asks Jesus, are you willing, Jesus? Do you have power? Jesus responds eagerly. This is why I came. I came to seek and save the lost. I would gladly listen to your cry for help, and I would gladly come. I am willing. Be healed. Jesus shows compassion by hearing this man, and he hears your prayers. Jesus shows compassion by healing this man, and Jesus came to heal us. Jesus also shows compassion by restoring. So why would Jesus restore this man? Well, right before this passage, we're given a clue. Often the gospel writers will group stories together to make a point. And right before this account, right before this story, Jesus was with his disciples. He was gathering them. He was getting together his team. And he said, what we're getting ready to embark on is we are gathering in God's people and bringing them into his kingdom. That's our mission. That's what we're up to right now. And there's going to be so many of them, it's going to be like hauling in great nets of fish. And the nets are going to be breaking because there's so many fish. So let's go, guys. Let's do it. They're like, all right, let's go. Catch number one, the leper. Jesus came for just this reason, to show compassion to those who everyone else has been avoiding. And he restores this man. There we go. And he heals him, and he charged the leper, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. Jesus is sending this man to the priest. He's sending them to the temple to follow the Levitical law of what you're supposed to do when someone is healed of leprosy. All right, and by doing so, he's restoring this man. Jesus, when he shows compassion and restores us, he restores us to worship, he restores us to community, and he restores us to mission. Jesus is restoring this man to worship. Before, God was at a distance. Before, God was far away. Can God hear my prayers? Will God listen to me? If God knows all about me, will God listen to my prayers? God knows my record completely. Is he going to give me the time of day? Jesus tells this man who's been living in the trash, in the rubble, in the outskirts of town, go to the temple and worship God. And when he'd go there, do you know what he would see? He would go and he would see in the temple all of these rituals of worship. Priests taking lambs and sacrificing them for sin. You would see priests with these giant basins, huge, huge metal basins of water, washing themselves with water to remind themselves of being cleansed. And you'd see an incense, an altar of incense going up to the Father to remind them that the prayers are going up and God receives them and hears them. And you'd see all these things. And you'd say, wow, look at all those lambs. All the lambs killed for sin. But none of those priests came and could heal me. And look at that giant basin of water. It's supposed to cleanse, but it never cleansed my skin. And look at that altar of incense going up to the Father, those prayers. But I've been living in the trash on the outskirts of town. Where's the connection here? What do these things have to do with me? Why would Jesus want me to go back into the temple and to see all these things? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. Jesus is the one who is the fulfillment of everything that's taking place in that temple. How did you get here, Mr. Leper Man? You're not supposed to be in here. Jesus, the great high priest, has made a way. I can come and worship the Father because of Christ. He's part of the community again. Once the priests have declared him clean, he can go back home. Can you imagine the scene? The wife, she's out on the street. She looks out. She sees in the distance. It can't be. It can't be. Children, come back. You got to see this. I didn't think it was possible. We've been praying for so long. The reunion, the party balloons come out. They're calling out the neighbors. For so long, he's been apart from us, and we've been praying and wondering, is there any way he'll come back? And there he is, coming back, restored to the family, restored to the community because of the compassion of Christ. Christ reconciling families. But Jesus Christ also reconciles this man. He restores him to mission. Now, before, everyone's throwing rocks at him. You're cursed by God. We have nothing to do with you. Get out of here. Jesus Christ restores this man to mission. What's the mission? To announce to the world that God's representative has come, that the kingdom is here. How's that? Well, it works like this. When this leper shows up at the temple healed, and he goes to the priest and he says, hey, I have leprosy and it's all gone. This guy Jesus healed me, and he said to come here and for you to confirm me and to bring me back into the community. The priest would say, that doesn't really happen. That doesn't happen ever. Where are we supposed to find that? I think that's in Leviticus. Who reads Leviticus? I don't know. So they'd go to Leviticus, and they're like consulting each other. I haven't read it for years. Yeah, me neither. And they go to Leviticus 14, and there's this giant long chapter of what you're supposed to do when someone comes to be confirmed as clean after leprosy. We're not going to read it, but this afternoon, you know, consider it. And one of the things that they would do after it's confirmed that they're cleansed is they have to shave off all of their hair. Now, in this culture, they'd have long beards. So this, you know, this would stick out. So shaving off their beards, shaving their eyebrows, shaving off their arms and their legs, completely bald. It would stand out, right? Like you would notice. You would notice this. Someone's walking around and you would notice that this guy has no hair. And it's going to get people's attention. Have you ever seen anyone who doesn't have any hair? Well, actually, some of you have seen people without hair, but you don't think of it as like bald, but babies. Babies often have very little hair, right? They just have that fuzz. And I know someone who doesn't have any hair. They have a disease. She's a woman in her 30s, and she doesn't have any hair. And it stands out, and she actually looks kind of like a baby. very similar to a baby without any hair. And she's like, "Yeah, you know, it takes a while to get." She said, "So it took me a while to get used to that everyone stares at me, but I got used to it, and I just have to, you know, I have to deal with it. I have no hair." Here's this man. Everyone's staring at him because he's shouting unclean, and now they're staring at him because he's bald. He looks like a baby. It's almost as if he's been born again. How did this happen? How did this happen? Jesus, the man Jesus has come. He healed me. And what's the response? Verse 15. Great crowds came to hear him. They came to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus preaching? What is his message? The kingdom of God is here. Friends, that is the mission that we are on as well today. When you come as an act of faith, like the leper, and say, "I am so messed up. I have no hope apart from you. Everyone's avoiding me. I've got this giant, nasty sign hanging around my neck, and I don't know what to do with it. Are you willing to cleanse me?" Jesus Christ comes with a Sharpie, and he writes in bold letters, "Clean. Clean." And that is the sign that we wear. Cleansed by Christ. Whatever you think it said before, it does not say that anymore. It says cleansed by Christ. And that is because Jesus, as we sang earlier, is the great high priest. That's what he came to do. To cleanse us of our sins, to bring us into the family of God, to send us out on mission. And when we go out confident in that sign saying cleansed because of Christ, the crowds will come to know and hear Jesus Christ. They'll want to know his message. They want to know his message because he shows compassion. If he shows compassion to me, he will also show compassion to you. Believe this testimony. Come to Jesus to hear his message. He is a God of compassion. He hears your cry. He will heal you. He will restore you. Rejoice. God's representative has come. The kingdom is here. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful that you are one who shows compassion. We are thankful that you are different from us and have shown compassion to us. When we are so slow to show compassion to others, I pray that as we receive this gracious love that you have for us, that you have declared clean all that we thought shameful, that in joy we would be a people that represent you, and that we would bear testimony to your power and compassion to others. Jesus has cleansed me. And I pray, Father, that we would be a people, a community that knows how to show compassion to others, because we are aware of how much we have received from you. May we be known as those who show compassion in scandalous ways because of Christ. In your name, amen.